I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Go.
We have breaking news here at Bromigos Podcast. I know you guys are coming in to watch, you know, us talk about everything, but we have breaking news right now. We have on good authority and multiple sources have confirmed that Sammy Sosa is getting darker. I repeat, Sammy Sosa is getting darker. The great Chicago Cub is getting darker once again. He is going from the strawberry ice cream in the Neapolitan pack back to chocolate. I repeat, strawberry what? To chocolate. Powder no more. We are getting closer back to the Sammy Sosa of old. I know this is going to take a lot from you guys, but this is a lot to take in. So please bear with us, and we will give you more reports as time goes on. But back to you, Nate, in the studio.
You know what? I'm going to just go ahead and hit the intro.
If you're a diehard sports fan or sports fanatic, then this is the place you want to be. You're now listening to the Bromigos Podcast, the best place for all sports everything. So pull up and let's go.
Man, you heard the man. Bromigos Podcast in the building, the place that you need to be. My name is Price, here with my bros, Rob, Jarvis. We are Bromigos Podcast, baby. We're here again with another episode for you guys. We are going to discuss some things, MLB trades, WWE, basketball, and we're going to jump into it right now. And I'm going to start off the Rafael Devers trade. Rob, I have finally calmed down. I've come back down to earth. Yeah. I've assessed the goods that we've gotten. I've went through and thought about everything. And I'm okay with this. I am upset that, again, Boston trades away another superstar. He isn't quite Mookie Betts.
No.
But a superstar, nonetheless, that we had a hitter. Pretty damn good hitter, lefty. I'm not as mad anymore. We have some great picks, a lot of young talent coming together. If we put it together, I feel like my team will be just fine. But I know that you had something that you wanted to say about this. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you right now. What did you have to let the world know about this trade?
So I'm glad that you were very measured in your approach with how you felt about Rafael Devers. But like, I'm not as measured. Now, granted, I'm not as mad as what I was. Because, like, when the whole thing happened and the article came out, and basically it was like, oh, man, how could the Red Sox do this to their fans once again? And it's like, he did them to himself. Okay, so everybody that doesn't know, like, the trade. Like, Rafael Devers, like Nate said, great hitter for the Boston Red Sox. When Alex Bregman got signed on to the Red Sox, that meant, you know, that somebody was going to have to ass up third base. Now, Alex Bregman did say he was willing to play second. So he said he would do that for the team. But the Red Sox said, no, we want Alex Bregman to play third base, even though he's really on like a one-year deal right now because he's got a player option for the end of this year. And so they were like, no, we brought you in here to play third base, so you're going to play third base. So that basically caused a rift within Rafael Devers, of course, because he was the everyday third baseman for that team. Now, when we say everyday third baseman for that team, he did play third base, but he didn't really play third base. That motherfucker was shit T with all the Y's, all the T's, all the shits combined in it. he was a very bad third baseman. He had a lot of errors. He had basically like a negative negative defensive WAR, -4.3. Like, he was bad. Bad. And that was the reason, and I think that was part of the reason why the Red Sox went to go trade for Alex Bregman. Because if y'all know, if y'all also wonder where they were trying to trade for Nolan Arenado very early on in the offseason, because of they wanted to get somebody better at third base, but Alex Bregman was the guy that they actually did. So this is where I'm going to say I understand where Rafael Devers is coming from. I understand basically somebody taking your job. And when I say taking your job, it wasn't as if he was out of the starting lineup. He was going to basically be the DH, which was more of what he was good at.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand basically him saying, hey, I was the third baseman. You guys had me at third base. Why can't I stay here? When it really is, they were saying, you shit. We need somebody better at third base. You're really shitty at this. Now, that's where I'm like, you got to look upon yourself and be like, hey, why did they do this? Why did they do this to me? They did it because you suck at defensively.
Yes, yes.
Defensively, you stink. Oh, I cannot stop emphasizing how much you stink at third base. But that, basically got all up in arms. He said, "I'm going to put my glove up." Y'all said I could put my glove up. Cool. Tristan Casas gets hurt. They need him to play first base. He's like, "No, I can't do it. I can't do it." To the point that he even got mad at a rookie for wanting to play third base, because, you know, Christian Campbell, because Christian Campbell's like, hey, A, I'm trying to stay on the field, but B, I'm trying to do what's best for the team, which that's what Rafael Devers should have basically did. He should have basically said, I want to do best for the team, which he did basically say, I'll play third base, and was taking first baseman drills with the San Francisco Giants. I say all that to say this. Rafael Devers, I don't know you. I've never known you. I've never met you. I've never done anything like that. But everything about you and everything about what you're acting is that you're a flimsy motherfucker. I don't know that for a fact. I can't say that for sure because I don't know the character. I don't know you. But you are basically doing all of the actions of a flimsy motherfucker. And I don't like the fact that you're a flimsy motherfucker, because that team, the Red Sox, was relying on you for a lot of offensive production, especially because Alex Bregman had been hurt. But you yourself, you basically said, I am getting in my feelings. I'm moody. I'm basically like this. And that's kind of caused a rift. And they couldn't keep somebody like that on, because especially if you're the franchise player, you're the player that everybody goes in to look at and basically take their notes from. You can't be this. You can't be the dude. And to be a team player and to be the franchise player, you got to be the guy that says, hey, I'm a basically be like, hey, this is above me. Let me go play first base. Because if you're going to do this for this next team that basically hasn't said shit, barely said shit to you, they just went ahead and just traded for you because and basically took on your contract, which the Red Sox gave to you, you might as well just say, man, look, I'm going to go play first. I'm going to do what's best for the team. I know what they did. And really, they weren't the people that signed you. The current front office basically is not the one that actually put the contract in front of you, gave you everything, all these machinations. They just said, hey, you are our guy for this. But you took it upon yourself to basically say, I'm going to be in my feelings and all that. So this is blown up. And I can't say that I fully blame you because of how the Red Sox acted, but I could blame most of you. Because if you just would have went to first base, I think a lot of this would have been very much avoided. But that's where we are. And I can't really say... I can't really be on your side with this. I just say, man, you being for real flimsy. But, Visky, you got anything, man?
I actually do. Now, I looked at this from two different perspectives, right? Mm-hmm. Now, from the business side of things, I don't know if they took a lot of things personal, the Red Sox. But when you look at the business side of things, I ask myself, did they just send two World Series rings to the Giants? Just like Mookie won two World Series rings with the Dodgers. I asked myself, is that the kind of luck the Red Sox are going to have? Is it? That's how I feel. When I looked at it, I was like, can it be Mookie all over again?
Nope. Not at all. No. I rebuke that name of Jesus right there. I rebuke him ever having a hidden performance like David Ortiz did in the World Series
And now, from my Bruh Migos beef side of things, I laughed my ass off because I hope he goes to the World Series. I hope he hits a walk-off for the Giants to win the World Series, just so I could call Price right here and say, I told you, y'all delivered the Giants a World Series ring. Now, that's the side I was looking at it on. Big facts.
This is coming from a person who barely beat the Rockies. I just want to throw that out when I then got and got swept by the Giants and by the Diamondbacks back to back and lost to us before that. All this year, might I include? No. You ain't got to look. You go in the bathroom and look in the mirror to see the juice.
He ain't wrong. He ain't wrong, my dude.
See how they take shots when you prove
and they lost to the Marlins right now, and they gotta play them again today.
They taking shots.
Well, come no, they gotta play them again today.
And now you trying to hide the head? Like, hold on, dog. Like, you see how they take shots? Like, you went at the head, and he was like, "Why they hating on me now?"
You throw a rock, I'm gonna throw 10 boulders back. I load them suckers up in the catapult and get the launch in there.
He's like, you shoot my dog, I'm gonna burn your house down. Like that. I say this, like, if the Red Sox basically are, especially with them, with the Giants taking on all the contract money, they are in a great position right now to basically really soak up some free agents, because Henio Suarez is a free agent. Now, Henio Suarez is not Rafael Devers.
No, he's not.
Absolutely. He's not. But Kyle Tucker is at that level. And Kyle Tucker is a free agent, and basically you could go out and get him. Granted, you got Roman Anthony, who you just basically called up. But, you know, you can figure out that fucking outfield. Like, yeah. I mean, that's not a problem. Also, Murakami is basically out there from, if y'all remember him from the World Baseball Game Classic.
Yep.
For Japan. Basically, big slugger. Like, he can be the dude that y'all go out and get. Just go spend some goddamn money.
Yeah, it's going to be on us to spend money. I think we're going to try to get a pitcher, and I think we're going to try to figure things out in the outfield and infield. Which I'm fine with. Mm-hmm. I'm totally fine with it. I just don't want, like, in the end, I just don't want this Devers thing to come back. I don't think it's going to come back because he wasn't a Mookie Betts.
No.
Like, we know LA has a purse deep as, like, the Baltic Sea right now whenever they get to spending money to just do whatever. That's how come they've gotten what they got. But I do think that we can definitely be competitive. We can get out there. We can get going. We just got to spend the money. And I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. Now, as we shift from the baseball diamond to squared circle. Gentlemen, last night, what we saw.
Speak on it.
WWE. John Cena. Pipe bomb.
Yeah.
Look, let me tell you something.
Oof.
Well, he deserved that title right now that he got.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if he's gonna cut promos like that, he deserves to hold on.
Give it all.
Just let him keep. Look, as far as I'm concerned, let him ride off into the sunset with it now. Just take it. We'll make another title. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out after that, WWE. What we heard last night, the fact that he used pieces of CM Punk's pipe bomb against him in the ring and delivered it after he delivered the attitude adjustment through the Slim Jim table, which I'm not a fan of WWE. I just want to throw that out there.
I am.
It's just so corny. I understand it. It's just, I want to see a Slim Jim thing on the table, dog. Just let it be a table. But nonetheless, he snapped him into a table like a Slim Jim. And Slim Jim, if you want to go ahead and sponsor us, I'm all with it.
Dig it.
I'm fine with everything that happened with this pipe bomb.
I don't want to see him lose that title now if he's going to do that. I know that they're going to want him to go out on his back, but I almost don't want him to go out on his back at this point. It's like, let him walk out. Because we saw something in the crowd last night, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all picked it up. After that, they went to his side. Mm-hmm. It was like, and I've been on his side the whole time, but I'm like, oh, now y'all want to come over here.
Exactly. Because when he first came out, they had the John Cena sucks.
Yes.
A whole different story after the pipe bomb drop.
So if y'all see the shirt that I'm wearing right now, it's a Bret Hart shirt. You know, can't remember where I got it from. But a la Bret Hart back at WrestleMania with Stone Cold, it was the double turn. And not only was it the double turn, it was John Cena is right. That's what this shirt should really say. John Cena was right, because John Cena been talking about these fans and how fickle they are, how they turn, and they keep doing it. It's like, ooh, hey, John Cena being me, I love you. Like, that's really what it is. Like, dog, y'all like a former wrestler once said, fickle. Like, you guys basically, like, fans are fickle. And
yes.
The eco-friendly champion.
I miss that belt. I don't care how much people say or call that belt. Like, they ain't like it. I love that belt. That was, like, one of the best belts. That was one of the best belts WWE ever did.
Yes. And I also go out and say this. WWE, I know it's tradition that people go out on their back. But if there was ever a time we were not going to make somebody go out on their back, this is the time.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time right now. I know it's always wrestling tradition. Hey, whenever you leave, go out on your back. Like, I'm expecting Goldberg to go out on his back.
That is old ass.
Mm-hmm. You're right. He needs to. But Cena right now does not. And I will say this again. Y'all forget some of the whack ass stuff that John Cena pulled us through. And we were there. And we loved it. And he got us through Nexus and other bad things in wrestling at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I went back. And do you realize some of the BS, like, stories and stuff that came in during that time, that he kind of threw an umbrella over all of this? He protected us from that.
Relax.
And now he's leaving.
Forever.
It's like,
sad moment. I didn't think I'd be sad.
Yeah. But what do y'all, how did y'all feel when he said Claudio, Nick Nemeth, and Matt Cardona?
I was like, wow, now he name dropping.
Yes.
Name dropping the AEW. Now, name dropping TNA was a little different. But when he name dropped Claudio and
Nick Nemeth.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, Nick, he TNA. But when you drop an AEW name, I was like, whoa.
But it was the thing that I thought about when it came to like that, because I'm like, he basically said, because he called him a hypocrite. He said that, hey, you know, you basically aren't the guy that kind of pulls together else, which that's what Triple H said. I always remember at least that moment when Triple H basically him was in the ring. He's like, you want to bring a revolution, but you want to bring a revolution where you're the one that's on top. Like, you don't want to basically bring it for everyone else. You want to bring it for you and then whoever aligns with you. And that's what, and I'm so glad to see you say that. Because it is, I think it is partially true. Like, I think Punk wants to basically bring in the revolution as long as he's in the forefront with the sword basically leading the charge. That
no, calling him Mr. TKO. I was like, wow. You don't want to change you, Mr. TKO himself. I say, ooh.
Because think about how many times he was like, man, I ain't coming back. I ain't doing this. I don't fuck with them, da-da-da. And then
he came back. Like, he came back. He cannot. I'm telling you, it's been two major things that Cena has said, and he's brought it to the light. Cody Rhodes, you want to be everything that I've ever been, and you ain't it. And then he turned around and he slapped CM Punk in the face. This was the equivalent to back in the day, whenever they slap, whap, whap, I slap you. I challenge you to a duel. And that's what he did last night. And there's nothing that you can do but eat that one right now. And to me, the silver line and the little sprinkle on top of us is he has to do it in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Somewhere he said, I'll never do this over there.
Gonna take that blood money now.
Oh, you damn right. You gonna take it now. I was like, ooh. It hurts even to me. And I know it's people gonna be like, but they're fictional. Look, shut up.
It's story, baby.
The story that's with this, knowing how CM Punk is, it wouldn't surprise me if he is a person that quote unquote doesn't want to take blood money. But you about to get that check now, though.
Oh yeah.
And you know you want this money. You know you want that money.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes him look even worse. That's why I said right now, I know that they're like, oh, you know, honors Cena. He's going to go out on his back, pass to whoever. I wouldn't care if Rollins ran out of the cash in and he AA'd Rollins and won this and walked out with that, or whoever tries to try him for this title, if he walked away with this title, I'd be fine with it now.
Yeah.
Because he just gave us something that we're going to say, damn, from him being a doctor of thugonomics, pulling us through all of the BS up to the end of his career, even whenever they wanted him taking losses and people were with him and they were cheating him and everything else, till the end, this man is giving us everything.
Yep.
And I'm going to throw this one out there. I don't think me and you talked about this, Visky. I might have saw this. You know what WWE can do whenever it's time to induct him into the Hall of Fame? A Make-A-Wish kid and Randy Orton.
That would be a good thing.
He has been Mr. Make-A-Wish.
Yes.
And if you just have a kid come out there that gets to say, I got to go on stage with John Cena in his last moments of being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, and you got to call him out, and then you let Randy give a speech for him, chef's kiss.
Yep.
So we'd write a storybook ending that nobody ever could write again for a guy in the business.
Yep.
And I'm for it, baby. I'm all for it.
Me too.
That would be epic. I agree.
But, oh, man, that was just...
Chef's
kiss. Aside from Randy Orton, his very first beef, Kurt Angle and a Make-A-Wish kid.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Angle, yeah.
I could definitely see Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Yep. I could definitely see Kurt.
I actually like that better. Although, Kurt been... See, like... I don't know the right way to say it. That Roy's been kicking his ass. Like the effects of like Roy's and basically that, like, it's been kicking his ass a little bit. Yeah, like, so I hope you're well, sir.
Yes.
But your body's I'll just leave it at that. I shouldn't have said it in the first place.
But having one of them out there in a Make-A-Wish kid, you wouldn't be able to write a better ending to this. You would not be able to write a better ending to this, no matter how you wrote this.
Yeah.
Now, from pipe bombs to us, now we have a special Bramigos event that we'd like to do with you guys today. We are going to draft us, each one of us, me, Rob, Visky, a small wrestling WWE roster, okay? And how this works, single superstars are one pick, tag teams are one pick. If you pick a faction, it's going to be two picks, and you can split factions up, okay? So you guys get to have a little idea of how we would build our teams and how it's come out. You know, I'm on the short and the stick right now. I got the third pick. I want to say who Visky has the first pick.
Yes.
Yeah, Visky has first pick, Rob has second pick, I have third pick, And we're going to get into that right about now.
Yeah. This is in honor of the NBA draft that's happening on the 25th. No. Here we go. Yeah.
I said, 25th, I think 26th.
25th. Yeah.
Yeah. 25th.
So in case you guys didn't realize, the draft is like very close.
Yeah. Like, few days.
And that's why we wanted to do this right now.
Mm-hmm. Epic.
A few days. Now, Jarvis, go ahead and start us off with your first pick. Who are you going to draft first to your WWE roster?
I don't need time in the green room. Shouldn't be a surprise. The number one overall pick in this draft, the Bruh Migos 2025 draft. None other than the OTC tribal chief himself, Roman Reigns.
And I figured he might go there.
I only said that because I can't remember the other one.
So Jarvis taking Roman Reigns off the board right away. I must say that wasn't who I was going to draft first. I think I'm going a slightly different way than everybody.
I thought that was going to be Nate's pick, so I had to take him.
Rob gave us too much time the past week in my free time, my spare time of thinking. Mm-hmm. I've been like, he thinks I'm going this way. I'm going this way.
All right. Let's see who comes off Rob's.
Rob, who are you drafting with your first draft?
All right. So I'm going to, for the second overall pick in the Bruh Migos WWE draft, I am going to select, I'm on my own, against the wall, Bianca Belair. Number one, Bianca Belair in hearts. In the
damn
heart,
it, though, Rob.
On my list.
That wasn't my number one when she was up there.
Damn, Rob. Great. My number one woman off the list, huh?
Okay. Mm. Yeah, she was going to be my number one woman. Now.
All right.
B is though, Price. I already knew that my first pick was going to be L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
I had to go with L.A. Knight number one. I have some good reasons whenever my roster starts to fill out, if everything can come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna repeat in the same order, or are we gonna go backwards?
Let's snake it.
Snake it. So I get another one.
Yep.
Ooh, y'all done fucked up now.
Let's see what Nate gonna do.
You know. Yes, I had two picks that I was gonna go with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to eat up two right now.
Oh, he's going with a fast.
Paul Heyman, guys, I want Bronson Reed, Bron Breakker, and Seth freaking Rollins right now.
All right. So if you guys remember, that counts as two picks. So now that Nate has picked a faction, he basically has two picks picked.
Yes, I do.
So that is the strategy of this event.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I figure out how to make this shit colored, all right. There we go.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, so actually,
all in Seth. Seth Bronson and Seth Bronson and Bron Breakker is now all off the table.
All of them. Okay.
Let me see what you got.
All right. So you taking him. There we go. I'm trying to get this list right. All right. So you're taking Paul Heyman guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna take a couple guys myself as a tag team.
Don't you do it, Rob? Don't you do it?
Give me those Creed brothers, Brutus, Julius. Come on down, because you are part of my team.
Woo!
I want them both. I'm making Julius Creed into a star. I'm making Brutus Creed into another star, maybe a little lesser. You know, that's because how that goes. But nah, I want the Creed brothers. They are absolutely great. They are. I can't say enough about them. I can't say enough about the Creed brothers. Those are my dudes.
Oh, that ain't who I thought Rob was picking. I'm so glad that's who he did pick.
Okay.
But don't need much time in the draft room. Mm-hmm. I'm taking NXT's own over Femi.
Yeah, he's on my list. Let's go, baby. Oh, man.
This is going to be quite nice.
It's still me, right?
Yeah, it's still you.
All right. Starting in round three, I'm going for a tag team. None other.
I already know who you're going for.
None other. We want the smoke.
Yeah.
Street Profits.
God damn it.
Get him here, baby. Get him here.
Okay.
He sensed which way I was going.
All right.
Like if they leave him there, I got him.
Okay. All right. So it is my pick right now. I am able to pick somebody. You already took Paul Heyman, guys. So actually, one of my guys is out because I was going to absolutely fucking take Bron Breakker. But I'm going to take the next best thing.
Oh Lord!
I'm going Samoan.
Go!
And I'm going Werewolf. Give me motherfucking Jacob Fatu. Jacob Fatu. I am killing this giraffe.
That's a stab in my heart, Rob. That is a stab.
That Jacob Fatu. Give me that. All right.
Don't stab me. Don't stab me, Nate. Don't stab me.
Don't stab me?
Yeah.
So
this time you get one pick because you already picked your third pick. So this is one.
Yep. I think this might be the stab that you're looking for. Solo Sikoa.
That hurts. I got to rearrange my list now.
That is an interesting one. All right. So this pick is now mine, and I am up. So three letters, one word, H-I-M. Give me Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes right now.
Rob with the trick right there. I thought he was going somewhere else.
Nope, not this time. I want him. I want Carmelo Hayes. Give me my boy.
Now I'm gonna get my two picks out the way because I'm going with a faction.
All right.
Give me none other than the Judgment Day. Finn Balor, your Intercontinental Champion, Liv Morgan, Raquel Gonzalez, Roxanne Perez.
That's actually a really nice pick.
Get my two out the way, baby. Let's go.
All right, that's a nice pick. I can fuck with that. All right. So now it's on me, and so I get to pick. And let me scroll through my little Rolodex because I did say, and I forgot. This is all TKO.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna go international right now. Give me El Hijo de Vikingo. Give me my boy Vikingo. I want him right now.
All right. So you going Vikingo?
Vikingo.
So because I've had time to ponder upon this, and I know that since I went early with my faction, that I get to pick two good single stars. First,
okay,
I'm gonna go with one that I don't think that you guys thought about.
Okay.
He was formerly a person named Miro.
Oh,
but I'm bringing back Rusev Day.
That was a good fucking pick.
That was a great
fucking pick.
Because he really is back as Miro now. I'm hating.
But go, that was a good fucking pick.
Like, go ahead.
And now, for my second one. Three letters, one move, RKO.
Oh, okay.
Randy Orton.
From?
Right behind him. From the loop.
There we go. That's all that matters. All right. So, now I am going to select somebody. And let me look through my list and let me make sure I pick this person, because I am going to go with one of the best in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Lola Vice.
Oh. Ooh. I like that.
I can't be mad at that, Rob. Well, can't be mad at that, because
can't be mad.
Not only is she a looker, she's good in the ring. I mean,
nigga.
All right. All right. So I got, now I'm back on the board with two, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Since we are under the TKO umbrella, I might have to shift to TNA.
Wait. They don't have the TKO.
I mean, did WWE buy TKO and TNA?
They got a partnership deal.
Nope, partnership.
Nope. Partnership.
Yep.
So they don't, so I can't use no T. Dang. All right.
Nope.
Great for clarifying the rules. Great for clarifying the rules. Well, if not, then I'm going to go four less, one word. Yeah.
Jey Uso. Okay.
Give me a Jey Uso, baby. Dang. So, since they just messed up my whole game plan, I'm gonna go none other than Booker T's favorite.
Oh, my motherfucking other people.
Stephanie Vanquist. However you pronounce her name.
Vakir. And I can't even spell her name right. That's why I didn't get her. All right, so.
As long as Rob will take who I'm thinking. I got another devastating two picks, right?
Let's see what Rob gonna go with.
So you actually took one of the picks that I was gonna take. One of the people that I had in mind, one of the people I was looking at. But The other person, a storm is coming. Give me Jay Cargill. Give me Jay Cargill. Because I knew for a fact, as soon as I saw Stephanie Vanquist, I was like, yeah, this dick. Jay. Give me Jay.
Okay.
You're up.
Every great man has a pivot move, right? Every great man has a pivot move. So, you gotta know how to pivot and do your thing, right? You always gotta have more than one move in basketball. So, like Mike, like Kobe, whenever the fadeaway ain't working, I can turn around, I can drive to the goal. So, my first pick, Oscar.
Wow, yes.
There we go. That's a legend. So,
now, you may say, Bryce, you got Oscar, but then what you gonna do? I'm a back door with the current women's Money in the Bank briefcase holder, Naomi.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, because I was like thinking, like, man, you going to pick who the fuck I was going to pick. Because what could rhyme with pick? Whoop that Trick. Give me goddamn Trick Williams right now.
Ooh, okay, yes.
Whoop that trick.
Now I'm about to use my time in the green room. Okay, this is down to the wire. I should have three picks left, right? Total, right?
You have three. Mm-hmm. I have two, and Nate has two.
Yep.
Right, real shit. I got
out of my green room. Hold on,
but I'm glad you take your time, nigga, because I would have.
Hold on,
shit.
All right, let me see here.
I know I'm getting.
If we're going these different ways, I think I'm going to go. Should I? See, I'm not that impressed with that person that much. And I think I'm going to go Seattle. Mm-hmm. Give me Penta.
Penta, yeah.
Mm, all right. All right. You got one, boy?
Let me get my next person. Y'all just took a lot of people I like. Dang. And, all right. No.
Now remember, you can't pick out of people. You can't pick people out of factions if you want to. So,
yeah, I know. I know. Let me see. There's no faction other that I'm thinking about that I really want. You know. What the hell? I don't really have too many champions on my team. So, I'm going to go with, it's Tiffy time. Let me get Tiffany Stratton.
Wait. Yeah, that's right. Nah, because when you said that, because like when Nate has said, I'm going to pick the current Money in the Bank holder, I was like, oh, that's Tiffany Stratton. Like, no, it's not.
Naomi.
I literally thought she still had the briefcase, and she hasn't had the briefcase in months upon months. So, that's on me. All right. So for my next pick, one of the newer NXT people that have gotten there, give me Lil Mama Punk. Give me Jordynne Grace.
Mm, okay.
I like that.
Okay. Now, I want to see if there's going to be an exception to this one.
Oh, okay. Lord. Here you go.
Can we pick people who are working from one company with the new company?
I know where you're going with this.
I know exactly where you're going.
So,
because this should count, because technically he's there.
He's there, but it's a partnership. He's on NXT. Like, because granted, like right now, Trick Williams is the TNA champ, but he is still under TKO. So he's not a part of the other. You know what?
Look, he's gonna be. If I couldn't choose TNA. He can't choose TNA.
There, you know what? No, he's right. He's right because I think y'all was gonna pick the same person. Essentially,
see, you told me
who,
no.
Who are you gonna pick? Who are you gonna pick, Jarvis?
I was gonna go FKA Dolph Ziggler.
That wasn't gonna be that.
I don't think about that nigga at all. But nah. go ahead, Nate. You cannot pick. You have to pick somebody under TKO. Because I know who you. I know who you. I know. I saw his name right here on the NXT. I'm like, no, that's bullshit. Yeah. His contract is still. I was about to say,
yeah, I got this. I was like, nobody thought about this. Okay. Like I said,
thought about it. Like, he would have been in my list, but I was trying to get Nick Nemeth out the way first, but yeah.
No.
You were gonna be the one.
So,
sorry,
you stole one of the women I wanted, Rob. So,
okay,
with Rob that being said,
my wife, man.
So with that being said, has anybody picked Jada Parker?
They have not.
I have not.
Jada Parker.
You got Jada Parker.
Is going to be
on the team price. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fair. That's a great pick.
Because, look.
A lot of future behind her.
A hell of a lot of future behind her. An enormous amount behind her. Now, whenever you pick somebody like her, I feel like I had to have somebody else. So, you know, why not pick a Becky Lynch
to go? Okay.
To give me four women, to give me a multitude of women, a nice balance, men and women, you know? Okay. And that will conclude my 10 picks.
I fuck with it. I honestly do fuck with it.
I indirectly kind of got five women because I got a faction with three.
Wait, who's your faction? Who's the faction you got?
Judgment Day.
Oh, yeah. All right. Because this is actually hard for me. Mm-hmm. And I actually want to, like, after this round, I want to do, like, who would you be your outside looking in? Like, your one pick that's an outside looking in. Because I have a bunch of people that I really do.
Oh, I already know who my next pick would be.
My outside looking in?
Don't say it. Let Rob grab, and then you grab yours last. Because
this guy, I've liked for a really long time, and I think he's uber talented. I haven't watched NXT all that much to basically say where he is now. I know he's a part of a new group or whatever. But I'm going to pick him singularly. Wesley. I'm a big fan of Wesley. Been for a very long time. I really like dude. I think he could be a mega star.
I'm glad you did that because his two flackies, they could be interchangeable. I don't really feel like they're a necessity for Wesley.
Understand. I've seen of them a bunch, but yeah, like, yeah, I get what you're saying.
But and that's going to be your last pick?
Well, I'm saying, yeah, you're the last one, Vizky.
Oh, all right. My last pick. Mr. / or Mrs. Irrelevant.
That's fair.
Now, I have to have a last pick to add to my team.
Well, this is your last pick. So,
yeah. Yeah, this is your actual last pick.
Yeah. I gave this guy a lot of flack.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I really need this heel on my team. You know, you always need a heel to make a great chase story. Why not give me the ring general himself, Gunther?
I fuck with it.
Okay, I fuck with it. I can fuck with it.
All right, so now this time everybody picks their outside looking in. Do you want to go in order, or do we want to just you guys want to just say it?
He could say whoever else he was gonna pick. You could go with.
I have a male and a female outside looking in. You know that okay. I was pondering on. Now y'all know how I feel about. I'm gonna start my female first. Y'all know how I feel about. I call her the GOAT in the women's division. None other than Charlotte Flair. I pondered a lot. That was my one. Yeah. If you want to go for my male outside looking in, this was heartbreaking because I wanted him. I wanted to give him a spot. Sami Zayn.
Okay. Okay. I can see that.
That was my two close outside looking ins.
Okay. What about you, Rob? What was your one that you were looking at?
I was actually looking at two myself, but it was two dudes. All right. Mm-hmm. It's really three, but I'll keep it at two. First one, Tyler Bate. He's never around because
is he still signed?
But just dumb, talented dude. Like, mm-hmm. Just absolutely dumb, talented dude. My next choice, Ricky Starks. I was scratching the potential. Oh, granted, I haven't watched NXT in forever.
Why did I think about him before we started, and he just slipped my mind when I started?
Or no, he's not Ricky.
Is he Ricky Stark?
No, he's Ricky Saints. Excuse me, Ricky Stark.
Yeah,
Ricky Saints now, and that's and I blame that on my lack of watching NXT, and that's because I'm trying to watch it in order, but I haven't watched it forever. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Nate, who would be your outside looking in?
I feel like, because 10 picks wasn't enough, and I wanted to include women. I didn't want to be all men's roster.
Right.
But I feel like everybody passed over this person, and I'm like, I'm the only person thinking of this guy. The current Intercontinental Champion.
Ooh.
Dirty Dom.
That's Dirty Dom. In Judgment Day.
Oh, sorry, you did. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he's about to lead him.
He hasn't yet.
He's still there.
Yeah, technically he's still there. But if it wasn't going to be him, I was gonna take the New Day.
I was, yeah.
That
was gonna be my other OLI. That was gonna be my third OLI.
See, look, let me tell you what I thought about. I said everybody's gonna come out with a heavy hitter, their first pick. Nobody's gonna say, let me pick a faction on the second pick. And I was like, I'm gonna pick a faction.
They're technically not a faction right now. They've been a tag team longer than they've been a faction.
Oh, yeah.
No. I mean for my pick, I felt like y'all weren't gonna pick a faction right away. Either they're going to draft a faction right away. I said if they decide that they're going to go a heavy hitter, I want LA Knight. I got a guy I can put the title on. And then I said, nobody's thinking of a faction. I need to take the Paul Heyman guys. Because if I need to, I got a guy in there who can chase the title. I got two guys that could be a tag team. I got a guy that can go out the Intercontinental if they wanted to single. I got this. And then I knew because he took Roman, I was like, I'm going to go ahead and stab him with Solo. He's not going to get him.
Rob really stabbed me with the Jacob. Man.
Yep. Yeah. I said it's either gonna be Jacob or Solo. And then I said everybody's forgotten about Rusev.
I just had my big board. I had other priorities. Yeah. I didn't forget though.
I was like, I need Rusev.
You know what's crazy? There was a two champ. Well, we mentioned the New Day. One other champion we left off the board that did not get taken.
Where?
EO Sky.
Yeah. There's a reason for that.
I don't want to be rude.
So New Day and EO Sky are like the only champions that didn't get picked.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah. I mean, what? Sol Ruka is the women's North American champ down there in NXT. I mean, nobody took Lyra. Oh, no. Who's the. No.
Becky
took Becky.
Yeah,
I took Becky.
Yeah.
Oh, so like nobody took Zelina. I forgot about this.
There's a reason that nobody took EO Sky.
Yeah.
because every other woman that was picked before her has a pecking order that we feel is above her. Rob doesn't have to say it. I'll say it for you, Rob.
But no, Nate is 100% right. Because I was like, let me not be mean.
She is not somebody that I think of.
Great wrestler. One of the best. But think about who also we didn't pick. And this is somebody that I think right now is the best in WWE as far as the women's side. Rhea. Nobody picked Rhea. And that's who I would say. Well,
She fell up under Judgment Day.
No,
she's old Judgment Day.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing though.
Oh, we left off Damian Priest.
Yeah,
but he's another one I was thinking about. I was thinking about Damian Priest, but that's what I'm saying. And it's like you said, Rob. And I'm not going to harp on this because we need to get to the topic. It's not that she's a bad wrestler. But whenever she gets behind this thing right here, it make you forget all about her wrestling ability for that moment.
Yeah.
And it is horrible.
Yeah, she's doing it in her second language. Like, she's gotten better. Like, it's not as bad as others. Like, she's getting better because, like, Shinsuke struggled and he got a little bit better. You know, like, even though he just basically said, fuck, I'm just going to speak Japanese and they're going to like this shit. You know, and granted, WWE did a good job with it. But no, I mean, she's getting better at speaking English. Asuka, same thing. Like it's hard when you have to get over that language barrier.
And this is true.
And so, but no, it's really more to that point Bianca's a great talker. Lola Vice is great. I don't know. I can't remember how she is on the mic. Can't remember how Jordan. But they have things that I would say put them a step above EO, personally. And really, I would say this. I don't have as much, and I know we got to get on to the next topic. When it comes to the Joshi wrestlers, I'm not as big of a fan. I'm cool with them. I'm not as big of a fan as the Joshi wrestlers. So
yeah.
So like,
I totally understand. And I'll say this, and this is the last thing I'm gonna say before we get up off of this. I got a friend. She listens to the podcast. Courtney said, because she heard us talk about people who can't speak, because she's actually a language tutor. Like, she helps people in Japan. She actually went to work in Japan. She told me, she said, one of the best things that they can do that she probably thinks that they're not doing here is they probably don't socialize enough with people who speak English. So they fall back into their first language whenever they're talking to their usual people, and they never speak English because they're not around somebody who speaks English. She literally would take the people that they go out with, like that she teaches, and they'd go out somewhere in Japan, like they'd find a place where people are speaking more English, and have them conversate with people in English constantly, so it becomes a more natural thing. Not to make them lose their native tongue, but so English comes out better. So you feel more, oh, they know this language. Oh, they can feel this. I think that that's something that they need to do with her. Just have her just, hey, we're going to take you somewhere. Conversate with people. 30 minutes, an hour. Like she said, she said 30 minutes to an hour, like a day, every other day. She said they'll pick up like that and they'll never notice it because they'll just get into the habit of doing it without having it to be forced of, I'm making you learn this mm-hmm. in front of somebody, you know? But it could be something just that simple. Now, we know that we've probably had you guys thinking, hey, these guys have been all over talking wrestling, but we got to get to the NBA. If you don't mind, Rob, I'm not going to rant about LeBron today because I want to get to this game seven, because I know how this is about to go with me and Visky right now.
Yeah.
So, look here. I saw your little Facebook post with that list.
Holly about
everybody. Now look. First of all, the Bucks got hurt, Kim, so I don't even count that. Like, that's a bad one. So this is what I'll say. You've gotten blessed. The last game, they just didn't play well, like I told you. Thunder didn't shoot well. Wasn't something like y'all were just all worldly against them. They didn't shoot well. They had a bad game.
The basket was as wide as the Grand Canyon in game six for the Pacers.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. You can go look at them stats and see that. That basket was not wide as the Grand Canyon. Y'all had spurts of playing, of shooting good, and that's how y'all got through. I'm going to still say Thunder and seven.
Rob, you've been saying this since game four. Thunder and four. Thunder and five. Thunder and six.
It don't matter as long as the job get done. Don't matter as long as the job get done. Okay? It's that easy. I don't see, and let me be honest. The Pacers have had a run, like similar to what they had last year, except Tyrese Halliburton has been healthy. Every team is going to have some type of, there's not going to be a perfect run unless you look at what Dirk did. Dirk had probably the most perfect run to NBA Finals ever. With who he beat, health of the teams, and what happened. Okay? You're not going to see that probably happen too often.
But see, now, I got to disagree with that. Because you're comparing that competition in 2011, like this competition doesn't equate.
Not the competition.
Okay.
The actual run of teams were healthy.
Okay, you said put on like that.
He fought a bunch of healthy teams, and he had a dominant run through a bunch of healthy teams. We ain't gonna sit up here and act like these teams were hurt. And teams went out and
the superstars and shit didn't were healthy right. though. All the superstars was playing.
The number Tatum one went guy. Out.
The Pacers didn't play Tatum?
Mitchell, no. But what I'm saying though is, do you think, let's be real. Let's just be real. Rob, like, I'm about to sit back.
I got nothing. Y'all got it. I'm watching the show.
You cannot tell me if Boston is healthy and it's healthy Boston versus healthy Indiana. That Indiana is beating Boston in 7 games if they're healthy.
But I don't think Boston would have got past New York regardless.
I think Boston would have got past New York.
That's my thing. New York, I feel like, could have found a way and they would have beat Boston regardless.
No.
Yeah. What's that for me?
No.
You said it out your own mouth. You don't trust Tatum, but now all of a sudden you're trusting Tatum.
I ain't gotta, but it ain't trusting Tatum. It's trusting that team. No. I'll trust that team. Here's the fact of the matter. You're going to get a 20-point game out of Derrick White.
Derrick White would have ran out of juice. He would have ran out of juice.
So New York didn't run out of juice?
I mean, the energy. Like, they couldn't keep up with the energy.
No, New York ran out of juice. Playing starters 38 minutes every night.
You got people like Josh Hart and Mikal Bridges. They ain't producing. When you only got Jalen Brunson, is the only man that could give you over 20. Come on now.
So Cat didn't average 20.
He did his thing. Cat did. He did his part.
He was a liability on defense. I'm not going to lie about that. He's a liability on defense. I'm not going to lie about that. But I'll say this. I think Indiana's gonna fold. Come the clutch.
Okay.
I think that it's in OKC. It's home cooking time. It's SGA.
Right.
NBA. Larry O'Brien trophy. We going home. Yeah.
Let me tell you.
They gonna party in Oklahoma.
I'm gonna tell you I told you the other day. I got one positive thing to say about the Thunder. That they can still get the finals MVP trophy. That's about all. Because ain't no way I don't see
ass shit, Rob.
I don't see in any way, regardless of who they give it to on the Pacers, I'm going to disagree. I think win or lose, SGA deserves the finals MVP.
But it's one.
That's a hell of a take.
I'm about to say, but when it's all said and done, that Thunder is going to go mute. And the sunshine of that pace is going to clear that Thunder out the way. And this is going to be it. You know, Rick Carlisle will go down as having the greatest two titles in NBA history. With the Dallas Mavericks and the Pacers. Well, the two greatest underdog stories, put it like that.
He's going to continue to have one. And he's going to have a Cinderella run that they've had a run of runs. I applaud. But that's it. You only jumped on these niggas bandwagon anyway because your niggas went out.
Hey. I got to root for somebody. Shoot, you know, I like to root for somebody even though my team ain't in, you know.
No. You decided to pick against me because you don't want to chase me to win that shit. That's the devil.
You know, I can't root with the same team as you anyway. Exactly. Hey, We can't be rooting for the same person.
You always gotta be enemy. You can be on the right side of crime sometime, you know.
I only say this in my realistic basketball opinion. The Pacers have no pressure. They've exceeded any expectation. All the pressure is on the Thunder. Like if they lose after being the most heaviest favorite in I don't know how many years, I feel like that's in the back of their mind. And I don't think it's going to be any blowouts. I really think it's going to be a close game. And that's just it. The Pacers have zero pressure because nobody thought they was going to be here in the first place, let alone one win away from the title. So it's going to be a good game.
This is what I think is going to happen. This game is going to play out one or two ways. If the Thunder come out there and put their foot on the Pacers' neck and they up big in the third, come the fourth,
we gonna see SGA rest a couple minutes, and then he gonna walk back out there on that court in his Undertaker outfit with some nails and a hammer, and he gonna nail that goddamn coffin shut, and this is gonna be over with. Mm-hmm. He's gonna get it done, because it's one thing that we've saw with Indiana for sure. Yeah, they have that comeback in them sometimes. They do. But we also know this. And I won't call them the free throw merchant. But we know if he get going, it's going to be a hell of a day. It's going to be a hell of a day.
It also helps he gets to throw a stiff arm like a running back in the middle of the lane.
I know. You know. It's a little chicken wing.
Yeah,
he look like motherfucking Ben Henry out there.
Yeah, him and other people been trying to throw this shit. They've been trying to undermine this shit all day long with that. Okay?
I had to make sure that wasn't dead Henry. I was like, what?
It's a shoulder shrug. It's like a little shoulder shrug plus.
That's it. Little bit of something.
Go ahead and finish your statement.
Let's be real. Not one of y'all shot over 50% in the last game.
Hey.
Not really.
Got wins though.
Well, no, Nembhard did. My bad, Nembhard did.
I want to say, if you realize how much of a chess move Rick Carlisle is playing, you see his comments about Scott Foster after Game 5. He was like, "Why y'all being so hard? Scott Foster is a great referee. How he playing chess? He getting on the good side. So if Scott Foster is announced tomorrow morning." Scott Foster gonna remember, you know where Rick Carlisle didn't even beat me up. I'm gonna put my whistle in my pocket. You know, he playing chess, baby.
I'm gonna tell you this. If he put his whistle in his pocket, he ain't gonna make it out of Oklahoma. If he put his whistle in his pocket, he ain't gonna make it out of Oklahoma. Hey. I know that. He might want to pick it up if he know what's good. he better hold on to it.
Opinions, Rob. Give us your take, Rob. Who you got? Your pick. Game set.
So I honestly don't really have much an opinion. I'm
just here for good basketball.
No. Because what I do have to say is my hate for the Pacers is still there. It's still within me. I don't want to basically see the Pacers hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy. I don't. It's just that my hate isn't as rough for them or isn't as strong for them as it used to be. Cause I do like these cats and they are playing hard. Like I love
watching Nick Smith play.
Like we were talking about before the show. I love how Nembhard has been like, SGA is mine all series. He been like, that's the MVP. I'm fucking shutting him down. I basically even said, like, if they're going to probably give it to MVP, they're going to probably give it to Nembhard a la Andre Iguodala when basically LeBron was going off in that 2016 finals. I think basically I can see it going like that. But no, I want the Thunder to win. Like, my little brother's Thunder fan. I like SGA. I like this team. I want them to basically win. I like, because for one, I like their chemistry. I've watched them basically do the, you know, the press conferences or the little sidelines after. I want to see SGA with Lisa Salters, basically with everybody around him celebrating and everything like that. I would love to see that basically at the end. So, but no, like Nate said, I'm in to watch great basketball. It's going to be some pucker time. Especially tomorrow for both teams, because like Game 6 started, it seemed like that's what the game was on. So,
yep.
But no, I enjoyed the show. Like I hope y'all enjoyed the show right here and watch these two cats basically, you know, fight it out. You know,
Hey, yeah, what it is. Now, we still got some stuff to talk about. We want to talk about WNBA before we get up out of here. So look, I see Rob has down here. We got to talk about. The double C's. Caitlin Clark. Should the WNBA look to protect her? Hell goddamn yeah. That's my opinion. And I'm going to tell you why. She has been one of the biggest draws to this. Whether you want to use her as the villain or the hero or however you see her. Okay? Now I will say this. She is good at trying to walk away with some shit sometimes. She gets her Reggie Miller on. she damn sure gets her Reggie Miller on at times. And she just ain't ran into the person who gonna try to choke her yet. Okay? I thought it might have happened the other day. But I think that they need to protect her to a certain extent. You know, I ain't saying give her all the calls and nothing, but just, you know, watch out for her a little bit. Don't let your golden goose get cooked too early. You know, let her start to rake the money. Let us rake the money. Let us get it going. What do you think, Rob?
We just had a WWE draft with mm-hmm. wrestling fans. One of the biggest things or the biggest negatives you could say about somebody in the wrestling business is that they're protected. They're protected and shielded from basically the fans, from the criticisms, all of those things. And you want to do this for this little white woman?
I take it from the fans and stuff.
Well, fans is different. Fans is different in this situation because these motherfuckers are crazy. But yes. No, she should not be protected. This is a competition. And granted, I 100% agree. She basically, I won't say throw rocks in high hands, but it's like she will basically walk away from every single situation, even though like old girl seemed like she was in her face and she pushed her off or whatever. But no, man, like the worst thing I think you could do right now is to protect her, because everybody has been on this whole thing of y'all doing too much with this girl. Y'all basically only talking about her. Y'all overshadowing everything else to basically have the perception that she is protected, I think is worse. Now, granted, I think she should fight because she is doing a bunch of stuff that is evoking a fight. But I think that protecting her, I don't think that's a good move. I don't think that's a good move. Just for thinking of, like, you know,
I need the team to go get her Charles Oakley. That's what I mean.
That might be the thing.
Like, got a girl. Excuse me, I don't know her name. Her little protector that's right now, the little blonde, chick.
Oh, what was it? Cunningham?
I don't know her name, so excuse me. But
the one got into the fight with old girl, the other old girl. I know you're saying a whole bunch of old girls. It's true. I know Sophie Cunningham was like one of the names that was said. I can't remember who the one that was driving to the basket and then got like kind of like thrown down to the ground. Like, yeah, but no, she. I mean, that's essentially what happened to Caitlin Clark when she got knocked down. You had Marina Mabry. Yeah, Marina Mabry basically knock her ass over, just like Kennedy Carter did last year. You know, like it's I mean, you do have some vets that will come up for they other people, but like, yeah, it don't seem like that is happening as much with Caitlin.
It is not. But I will say this. The WNBA women have been getting chippy lately. I don't know what's going on, but I don't know if the moon's aligning. We about to have another red moon or something like that.
Hey.
But they like a few steps away from the culling or something around there. Like, it's headed in that direction. But I like it. I like that it's that they're starting to get competitive and grimy, and they kind of want it more, you know?
Fight.
Yeah, you know, let them, because I'm telling you now, the first look, if the WNBA ever has a la Malice in Le Palace or something like that, but we will trip out. They will, look, revenue might go up in a huge spike if something like that happens. It's just the draw. And I don't think not every person agrees with that, but they need the draws right now. They need their people to be physical. They need to win. They need to show that they're being a little bit more extra competitive to drive their league in the right direction. To me, I feel like Caitlin Clark is one of those people. She's going to take the league in the right direction. Your superstars are there. I think it's going to be like I always said. I think it's going to be a personality thing. You need personalities to shine. That's what we need. The WNBA needs as many personalities as possible.
But the thing about it is, she ain't that. She is not a personality.
Oh, no. Well, hold on. I know what you're saying, but I thought about this. She is. You know who she is? She's the fucking KD of the Women's League.
But KD ain't a personality either.
But that's the thing, though. They don't have... Okay, if you ever watch an interview with her, her and KD reflect and take basketball the same way.
Yes.
But they play the sport with their heart, and they leave their personality somewhat social, and it won't always shine through. That's the emo person diamond in the rough thing about them. Now, to me, what you need is we need the personalities I think we need now is we need our Dennis Rodman.
Okay. That's Kennedy Carter.
The whole point about the personality, I think, is because she has to spend so much time defending herself. She can't let her personality come through. It's always defending herself or talking about something that happened with another player on the court.
Yeah, but...
Woodmill does the same thing, Rob?
You said what?
Woodmill NBA player does the same thing he just said.
Like, always defending himself.
Well, the thing... I would say the thing with KD... And all this is really is like from the family tree of Larry Bird, really. And like, I just want to hoop, and that's really what I want to do. All this other shit is kind of funky. I just really want to do this. The thing with KD, though, is he had the whole thing about the burners, and that's where basically shit kind of took off, because he's dumb sensitive about every goddamn thing. Like, he's always on the internet. He's always looking at everything. He takes every piece of fucking criticism that you can't take. And then there's, hey, we talking too much about criticism. Like, that's the thing with KD. She don't do any of that. She really honestly just
wants to. And we don't know.
Like, she could have.
Because we didn't know that his ass had a burn until he messed up.
So
she could be doing, I'm telling you, Rob, these superstars pay attention so much.
That's true.
And they may not want you to know. And I think because them two have had interactions, hey man, don't get caught with the burners. And that's been the thing. Don't get caught with it.
That is probably true. And I can't go against it, but I'm saying, like, at least out loud, I don't know if she has to defend everything, because she don't speak about shit. And not saying that she has to. And I'm really going to basically say she don't really. Paige Becker's got that covered. So Paige Becker's and Cameron Brink, as far as the white women that's out there, basically speaking on every goddamn thing. That's fine. And so she don't have to, but it's still to the fact of the matter of she don't really show anything else. She's not giving you anything. And that's really, you can say the same thing for Michael. Michael didn't show you much outside of what he was doing. I mean, he had the Republicans buy sneakers too kind of thing, but it's got to be the shoes, like Mike, all those kind of things that basically was developed around him. And that's what basically gave us what we saw and what we kind of felt about him. Like, even with Kobe, like, Kobe didn't give you much. Well, Kobe gave you much, but he gave you a little more than MJ. And that's mainly because, like, you know, the different times or whatever.
Now, Mike almost choked the shit about a Reggie one time, and then he's trying to get them.
That's so true.
Yeah, I feel like, because every time I look at the WNBA, it's going to come down to personalities. We're attracted to NBA person that we see the player, and then whenever we get attached to the personality and how they play, we're like, I like that person. We can see them playing, but we don't know the personality. And until they figure out how to make that connect with people, they're going to be in this spot. And the complaining about the money thing doesn't help you, because mm-hmm. they still do it here and there of, we're not getting the revenue. And there was a guy that did the financial breakdown on it. He said, if y'all want the same revenue share that they have, y'all would have to pay them $85,000 a year to play in the WNBA. And I don't think nobody's they haven't thought of that part. Because it's a difference between 30, 40 million and 9 billion. That's a huge number discrepancy. I do want them to get their money. But the first step in this is personalities. And as much as I'm going to hate to say this, but it's going to be a nice little transition. One of those personalities is going to have to be Mrs. Meebound herself, as you call her, Angel Reese.
Meebound. Y'all got y'all Meebound t-shirt on order?
Hey. She's going to have to be one of the ones, Rob. She's gonna have to be one of them, and I love that we're gonna give her roses, Angel Reese, me bounds, because that's what the hell they are, Rob. Her rebounds.
No, she did. I wanted basically to give her flowers mainly because a lot of the proceeds are going to cyberbullying, because she has basically, like, ever since the NCAA tournament against Caitlin Clark, has basically been getting shit about all this shit, and it's just like, yeah. The fact that she's basically putting that money towards that, I gotta clap for it. And so, like, basically, I wanted to basically bring, me bounds, like, because she is one, like, every time I see her, she seems so goddamn jaded. And it is because it's like, she get it from every goddamn angle, and it's just like, damn, that must be tiring. And I'm looking on the website, $40 is a lot of fucking money. But I mean, it's you know, these shirts look pretty dope and everything like that. And yeah, like it's the thing of, like, this is cool because she is one of the people that she got her own podcast, so she is out there and trying to basically market herself. She's done I don't know if she did the SI swimsuit issue. I know she did a bunch of swimsuit stuff, but like she is out there as far as a personality. But yeah, no, I mean, there are more women that are getting out there. Fly J is supposed to be coming up probably next year. You know, there are more people that's going to be out there, that's going to be in the WNBA, that's going to be people that you know of and people that, you know, can look back to. And they're starting to get more marketing opportunities too. So, giving flowers to Angel Reese and the B-Bounce movement. So, yeah, do your thing, girl.
I just want us to make one statement on the whole Caitlin Clark situation.
What's up?
I don't really feel like she needs to be protected. I feel like the rest of the league needs to accept the fact of what she's bringing. She's dry. I don't think they've accepted
that'll never happen.
That, you know, that she is the reason a lot more people are watching the W. She's not a rookie anymore. I feel like they're still doing rookie hazing, doing her sophomore year.
But I think part of it is that, like, it's the same thing with MJ. MJ came into the league where basically it's niggas that was already there and not getting any kind of shoe endorsements, not getting any kind of anything. And they like, oh, look at their apparent, look at the motherfucker. Yeah, it's going to be some level of jealousy, but it's also going to be to where it's like, dog, I'm a grown ass man or a grown ass woman too. Like, I'm out here doing my damn thing. And I don't think, I understand what people are saying is like, hey, you got to be more, you know, accepting or whatever. But it's also this like, no, this is fucking competition. She needs to go fucking sink or swim. And then and some of the shit that she did, like with the Angel Reese thing, where she kind of threw her down and like the shit where like she pushed over girl, like it is like she wants to basically do it and then get out of the situation and then basically have somebody else kind of handle it. But no, she gotta fucking fight. Like you're gonna have to swing back. Or you're gonna have to let somebody get a fair one.
I don't really feel like it was her fault. I was watching it. The play happened, and all of a sudden, some chick really just came out of nowhere and just like pushed her to the floor.
That one, I would say it was like because she got fouled, got the swiped eye. The woman that fouled her basically was like still up on her, and she like boom did like that, and everybody kind of gathered, and that's when Mabry knocked her down. And so like that kind of situation where it's just like. She got hit and she got blindsided, you know, pun intended. So that one is a little different, but you gotta have to fight.
Yes. And I'm a firm believer in two hands full of neck, get you some respect. She just need to choke one of them out one time and they gonna respect her.
At least make the attempt.
You hurt one of them once. I'm telling you, look, if you make an example out of one person, they gonna say one of two things. You either gonna have somebody who gonna think that they more bold than her,
are you gonna hear no ass talking and they ain't gonna touch him? Or they gonna be like, she crazy. Don't touch
her. You gotta,
and that's what you need right there.
You gotta show a little crazy sometimes. So that it's just gotta be there. You know, it's gotta be found. Cause everybody looking at, oh, she's different. She's other. It's like, nah, man, you gotta basically be like, nah, motherfucker, I'm here. Like, let's go.
And I'm gonna say this. See if she did it to Angel Reese and she got the better of her. Ain't none of them gonna touch either. Cause the first thing they're gonna say is she been waiting to get her. And I'm gonna be honest. If I was in her shoes, I'd put my little fine money to the side. Cause she got it. She got all them. She made way more money than she making in the NBA, in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. I put my little fine money to the side and I'll make up my mind. I'll be on I wish they ass would mode. And the minute that they touch me, I'm gonna go off. And see when I go off, right after that, they're gonna say, hello, white girl, crazy. She trying to choke the hell up out of her. And you not gonna have no more problems with nobody. They're gonna say, mm-mm. Don't you go over there messing with Kaylin. Kaylin crazy. That's all it is. Remember, we've seen it happen. Isaiah Stewart is probably the most unhinged NBA player. They not gonna touch him because of fear of retaliation when he might do.
He might catch me outside.
Yes.
It's like the Ryan Artest days,
just
man.
Think about that. Just think about it, though. You know them dudes who bought it. I'm a firm believer that I feel like Zach Randolph kept a Glock in his Rolls Royce.
Or a pool stick, if you know, you know.
Yeah, he was ready for you at all times, my dog. So you might, in certain people, you can't play with like that. And she just got to make that one example. Because look, you didn't heard the stories about Charles Oakley. Charles Oakley didn't slap the hell out of some people.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't slap people, threw basketballs at them, all kind of stuff.
For Mike.
Yeah, for Mike, for himself, he ain't care. See, he knew to protect the product. Look, boy, what's that girl name? I just saw her. She like 6'4", 220 on 18.
Not Aaliyah Boston.
Aaliyah Boston.
You might want her. No, Dewana. You gonna want Dewana.
Blair?
Yeah, you gonna want Dewana. Look, Dewana. You 37. You know you're not allowed to play Malone in the league. You go out there and step in front of one of them and you bat somebody for her one time, they gonna say, hey, bro, she got it for us, bro. Be back up.
Dewana just got there. And I think that's probably why she ain't really like that, like with her. But no. She needs a diesel.
Caitlin
Clark needs a diesel.
Yeah.
Who is gonna step up on the Fever to be that diesel?
Diesel, baby.
Mm-hmm. look, Indiana Fever, if you're listening, that's your off-season acquisition right there. You go get her a bruising to stop them. And I promise you, we're going to see some attitudes change whenever they know pain might be coming their way if they mess with her. Hey, dog, don't go up now. Because, see, this ain't like baseball. See, baseball, they can throw at you. It's a one-on-one situation unless they clearing them benches. Not in basketball. 10 people on the court one time.
Fact.
Somebody got to see somebody.
Yep.
And that's just how it is. But, you know, as always, like, oh, comment,
can I make
subscribe.
One more? Can I make one more comment? Since we're on the WNBA mode, I would like to kind of defend one of my LA Sparks.
Oh, here we go.
There was a controversial Kelsey Plum video. I did find out the full story of what happened. It wasn't just that. It was apparently some fans stalking the team. They changed hotels sporadically and they stalked them and was at the new hotel before they even arrived. And if you notice, they had a blue pen. He was trying to get a bunch of signatures in blue marker, which, you know, a lot of celebrities sign in black because when you sign in a colorful, that's more of a proof that it's a legit signature versus a black marker. So basically, It was stalkers stalking the team, which is a little weird. If they just randomly change hotels and you at the new hotel before the team arrives, that is a little weird. So it wasn't her really trying to just, you know, shoo off fans. I would hope it wasn't that case with it combined, but you know, give them a little breathing room. I kind of feel like that was a little weird, especially these people that's trying to get a bunch of signatures to go sell on eBay. So lighten up on my girl Plum, you know, lighten up on her. You know, LA Sparks all the way, baby. But that's my only comment on it. No,
sure. I'm ready. Absolutely.
It, definitely. Don't be a weird person, guys. Nah. Just don't be a weird person.
Stop being. Look. If you eye to eye, if you being a weirdo, stop it. Stop it.
Bad.
Like, just stop being a weirdo. And if you know a weirdo, look, take their hand. Mm-hmm. Stop being a weirdo. Because some people just need to know, like, hey, being a fucking weirdo. Stop being a weirdo.
Rob telling you to hit the hand. I'm going to take your ass out back with you. I'm going to get this clean about you. We going to set this straight right now.
Little column A, little column B. I'm good with it.
Yeah, we going to get this done right now. But anything else, gentlemen, that y'all would like to say before we get up out of here?
Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Of course, like, subscribe, look up in the sky, all that. We everywhere. Go ahead, everywhere, hit us up. Like, just, you know. Because we comment on what we got. You know, like, if you're like, hey, Rob, shut the fuck up. Put it on Facebook, all right? But at least add us. And look, because there's a lot of Robs out there. So if you're going to tell me to shut the fuck up, tell me to shut the fuck up on my page, at least, okay? That's the only thing I request. Like, you're going to tell Rob, shut the fuck up on my block, all right? That's all I ask, so.
Nah, with that being said, I'm gonna go ahead and play this music and get us up out of here.
Play that goddamn outro.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bra Migos podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.